This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is out today. We will begin with new insights into the apparent lack of state oversight of the New England Compounding Center, the Framingham-based company that produced tainted steroids linked to at least 24 deaths. Here's Governor Deval Patrick speaking on WTKK this morning.
There is a record here. There's a record of citations. There's a record of inspection. There's a record of remediation as well. The question I think a lot of us are asking, and that I have been asking, is, you know, where's the point where you say enough's enough?
Well, good question. This week, the Massachusetts Board of Registration and Pharmacy, the group charged with regulating such centers, called for the NECC's license to be permanently revoked. And yet, the same state pharmacy board repeatedly failed to discipline the Framingham Compounding Center in the past, according to the Boston Globe. Todd Wallach and Kay Lazar reported the story today, and Kay joins us now. Kay, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Why don't we start looking back a little, as you did in your examination in today's Globes. What rules did the New England Compounding Center actually break in the past?
Well, several. Most notably is the fact that the regulators found, after receiving complaints from other states, that they were shipping drugs, mass-producing them and shipping them to Texas and Wisconsin and Iowa and other states where they received complaints, and not sending them with each dose with a prescription attached with a name attached to it, because our rules say that they can't mass produce these drugs. They have to specially mix them for each patient, and they weren't doing that. Mm.
And some of this harkens back, even to 6 years earlier or a period earlier than these original complaints, when the board, the Massachusetts Board in Pharmacy, had to, let me be sure I say that right, the Massachusetts Board of Registration in Pharmacy had to, they faced previous rounds of examining NECC's poor practices. But did they fail to take disciplinary measures then?
Yes. So the complaints stem back, at least the documents that were released to us earlier in the week, go back to 2002, 2003, 2004. And there were a series of them, all very similar from other states. There was also a complaint of an adverse event, meaning some patient was harmed in some way from one of their drugs. And actually the drug in question in that event was the same steroid linked to the outbreak, the fungal meningitis outbreak now. We don't know many details about that because there were not really any details in the documents, but there was at least one adverse event reported back, I believe it was 03. So there were a series of complaints. The board first issued letters of concern, which were really just saying, we're very concerned and you need to change your practices. And then at one point, as our story points out, the documents indicate that in 2004, the board was ready to discipline the company, give them an official reprimand, which would have showed up in other states, and put them on 3 years probation. But their lawyer argued in letters back and forth that this would really hurt their business, et cetera, and that they have cleaned up their act. And then finally, what the board did in 2006 was drop the idea of a reprimand, only 1 year probation, and even that was stayed, so they really got no disciplinary action.
Huh. This is interesting because, as you've reported, the Massachusetts Board of Registration and Pharmacy oversees 11,000 licensed pharmacists in the state, and in the past they have revoked or suspended licenses of more than 100 of these people and organizations that they oversee. So it's not as if they didn't, you know, they weren't willing to exercise their power. Did you sense or could you uncover why they didn't do so in the case of the New England Compounding Center?
Well, that's really a mystery, and that's what we're all still digging into, and we have some theories. We don't know. We're looking at records, but I will say that we didn't even get the records of how many they disciplined from the state. We had to go to the National Association to get that, because the states report them voluntarily, I might add. There's no really mandatory central clearinghouse, and that may not be all of the disciplines, because the way each state does it is a little bit differently, and they may call it something else, so it may not be a comprehensive accounting. But no, to answer your question, we really don't know. We're really still trying to figure that out. It does appear, though, that if you have lawyers and advocates who can advocate for you, that perhaps you do a little better with the board. But we're really trying to get at the heart of why, in this case, when there seemed to be repeated violations, there really didn't seem to be any disciplinary action taken.
So, Kate, tell us if you can, take us into a little bit more detail about this board in and of itself, the Massachusetts Board of Registration and Pharmacy. Who's on it and who are they accountable to?
Well, there's not much known. I mean, their names are on the Board of Registration and Pharmacy's website, but exactly their backgrounds, you have to, one of them works, I think, as an executive at CVS. Another, I think, is a pharmacist at Walgreens. Another person that we've reported on, Sophia Pastis, and I hope I'm pronouncing her last name correctly because she has declined to speak with us, was the pharmacist executive at Ameridose, which is the sister company to New England Compounding, which has also temporarily been shut down during this investigation.
Kay, can I just jump in here for a second? Because
sure.
I mean, you're a journalist, I'm a journalist. Doesn't this strike you as a little strange? Because I do know that at times people say you want people with expertise in the field to serve on these regulatory boards, and I understand that. But if they're connected to major pharmacies or even pharmaceutical groups that they're overseeing, is there not some potential for conflict?
Absolutely, and that's really what we're trying to get at. And there were, you know, obviously people quoted in our stories today raising that concern that there is sometimes concerns about this, not just here but in other states. And it's not just the Board of Pharmacy. You have this issue with other professional licensing boards where you walk that balance between wanting people who understand the field, but also how do you prevent a conflict of interest. And in other states, we looked at other states' boards and even on their websites, they post the background, at least, of these members who are on their boards, their educational background, where they work. So at least you have a sense of, is there a conflict? Why would they maybe be voting the way they are? In our state, we don't have that.
Is there, very interesting what you've uncovered in today's Globe. Is there a call anywhere on Beacon Hill or amongst other officials in the state that maybe it's a time to take a closer look at the Massachusetts Board of Registration and Pharmacy?
Absolutely. My colleague Todd Wallach talked to Senator Moore, and he obviously made some statements about, for instance, needing to know what their background is because of a potential financial impact on the industry. I mean, their votes certainly could impact not only their own business, but friends' business in the industry. So he's certainly looking into this. As he said, he wanted to wait and see a little bit more about what was uncovered because you don't know what you need to fix until you see exactly what's broken. I think other legislators we've spoken to said that they are starting to really look into this and perhaps, file legislation, but they really want to see what is uncovered.
Mm-hmm. Kay Lazar is health reporter for the Boston Globe. She and Todd Wallach wrote in today's paper about the Massachusetts Board of Registration in Pharmacy and their perhaps lack of oversight in the Framingham Compounding Center implicated in a national meningitis outbreak. Kay Lazar, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.